Representative Drew Dennert is here with us for Dakota Free Press. How are you today, Drew?
I'm doing well, Corey. Thank you for having me.
Hey, well, thanks for coming at the end of veto day. You were just in Pierre for all the vetoes, correct?
I was, yeah. We had some bills to consider, and we're back in Aberdeen now.
Well, that's great. Tell you what, let's talk about the bills you handled today for veto day.
Sure.
So, first of all, I guess there were 5 bills vetoed. As I understand it, the legislature only took up 4. They left one, said, yeah, governor's right, we don't need to mess with that one. 3 in particular, and one that I think we're both interested in, was House Bill 1149. Which would have cut the tax on our phones, is that correct?
Yeah, from 15 cents to 14 cents per line.
We're paying 15 cents per line per month, right?
Yes.
And this bill would have cut it to a whop to just 14 cents.
Yeah, one penny.
We were going to save 12 cents a phone
yes.
a year. And the governor said no. Why did he veto that?
Well, I guess that fund, it goes to help the deaf community.
The funds from this tax.
Yes, that's the meaning of it, and that's when we passed that, you know, that fund into existence. That's where that money was supposed to go. So right now there is more money in that fund than we're actually using. Actually, just this year we robbed money from that fund to put into the general bill.
Moved it from the telecom fund into other uses.
Yeah, we swept it into the general bill.
Is this a normal practice?
It is, and I don't like that. I was disappointed in that, and I actually was only one of 4 people who voted against that particular bill that swept that money into the general fund just because I was opposed to that. I'm a firm believer that if we, the legislature, are going to tell the people we are going to tax you and provide this service, we should tax them and provide that service, not tax them and provide this other service that we didn't tell them about.
Now, was that the dedication of this telecom tax to services for the deaf, was that just a promise when it was passed, or is that written in statute that that's where that money goes?
Well, I believe it's written in statute, but I guess I'd have to check on that one to know for sure. It disappoints me the fact that when people pay this tax and they know about it, they're saying, I'm paying these 15 cents to help the deaf community, not to help the general bill. And that's disappointing to me that, you know, we had this bill that would decrease it by a penny, and it would probably bring the fund to probably a more appropriate amount of money, what's going to be in there. And the legislature passed it. It was a Democrat bill, actually. The legislature passed it, and then the Republican governor vetoes a tax decrease.
Democrats propose a tax cut. Republican governor vetoes it.
Yeah, and it's kind of too bad because, you know, we have a governor who did say when he campaigned in 2010 he wasn't going to increase taxes. And he increases taxes quite a bit. He's got the biggest and the second biggest tax increase in state history.
Of course, now this wasn't a tax increase today, or the veto wasn't a tax increase. It just was rejecting a tax decrease.
That's correct.
So our taxes are higher today than they would have been if you'd have had your way on House Bill 1149.
Yeah, that's correct.
Do you recall how much money was at stake here? I mean, 12 cents per phone per year, it can't be that much money.
Well, and I don't remember the exact specifics, you know, to drop it by one penny. But it's more than you'd think if you take every single phone line in the state.
And it's on cell phones too, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, that'll add up then,
yeah,
sure.
if you go one penny a month for every single phone line, that adds up.
Okay. Fast. Well, so whatever the amount of the money was, I understand that kind of the Republicans, the appropriators, and the governor, they were arguing that the budget's tight, we can't afford to let any money go, even this money that we're sweeping kind of sneakily from one fund to another. What's your response to the budget balancers? If they're saying we need this money to balance the budget, are you saying to them just tough noogies? Are you saying we need to cut something? Or would you have advocated some other funding source to take care of the budget shortfall that they've been plastering over with this money?
I guess I'm probably going to argue more just for honesty. If we need the money and we need to tax people for it, we should be honest about where the money's going, rather than saying we're going to give it to the deaf community and then not give it to the deaf community. So let's just be honest with where the money's going, and that's basically what I'm asking for.
So you might tax us, but you're not going to trick us into it. You're going to tell us exactly what those taxes are for when we vote on it.
Well, and I'm a low tax type of a guy, but I mean, I'm not a no tax type of a guy. So, I mean, the less taxes, the better, but there are also responsibilities of the government. So
either be honest or do without.
Certainly be honest.
I can live with that. But that bill, apparently, they tried to override the veto. That none of the vetoes were overridden today, correct?
That's correct. I believe it had 40-some votes, but it needed 47, and it did not get that many.
So come July 1st, I'm going to look at my phone bill, and it's still going to say 15 cents per phone.
It will say 15 cents per phone.
For the deaf and for the general fund.
Yes.
Well, I guess I'm doing my duty. Let's talk about the two gun bills
that
were on the veto list today. There was some other gun legislation that passed, but Governor Dugard vetoed two of them. One dealing with the permit for carrying a concealed weapon, the other dealing with concealed weapons in the Capitol. Let's deal with the permit for concealed weapons first. That was House Bill 1072, which basically would have said, it didn't get rid of the permit, it just said nobody needs to get a permit to carry a concealed weapon in South Dakota. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that is accurate. So right now, under current South Dakota law, anyone who is a law-abiding citizen, not a felon, they could walk out on the street and open carry their pistol. What this says is that you could put your coat over the top of it, or you could conceal it, you know, in your glove box, your car, without a permit, so long as you are, you know, a law-abiding citizen, you can legally own that weapon.
Now, that's an interesting point, because right now, anybody can open carry a weapon, other than felons.
Correct.
There are some people who just can't possess a gun because of whatever bad things they've done. But I don't need a permit, you don't need a permit to walk around town with a gun on our hip visible, correct?
Correct.
So why isn't open carry enough? When people talk about wanting to have a gun around, just, I mean, in general, I know this is maybe beyond 1072, why is concealed carry so important, I guess, that it would, you know, motivate a bill like 1072?
Well, and here's the way I look at it. Let's say, for example, I have a permit, and I have a concealed pistol in the glove box of my car, and I'm driving around town, and I come to your house, and I say, Corey, can you run an errand for me? And you say, absolutely, Drew. But you don't have a permit, and my gun is still in the glove box, you run down to the gas station and grab something, but on the way down you get pulled over, and the cop asks for the insurance, and you grab the insurance, but, oh, look, there's a gun in the glove box.
Drew, you loan me your car, and you don't tell me there's a gun in your car?
Well, that's my responsibility to do that, but the way I see this bill is it will prevent a few citizens who really didn't do anything wrong from getting slapped with a Class 1 misdemeanor.
Citizens who borrow the car of their buddy who's got a concealed weapon.
Yes.
Remind me not to borrow your car, Drew. Yeah. I'm feeling nervous here. Well, let me ask another maybe broader question. There was debate, and I heard Representative Johns talk about the constitutional side. And, you know, Representative Johns, he's a judge. He's tried more cases than you or I have. And he made the comment that I think harkens to something Governor Dugard said in his veto message, that concealed carry isn't actually included in the Second Amendment. Play constitutional scholar for me. Tell me how, in your mind, because that was the talk. This is about Second Amendment. That was coming from the supporters of the bill. How does concealed carry fit under the Second Amendment right to bear arms?
I guess the way I see it, the way the Second Amendment reads, as long as you are a law-abiding citizen and you're not doing any harm, I think it's covered. Now, there's, you know, reasonable people can disagree. You and I can disagree on this. Judge Johns and myself can disagree. I think it's covered underneath the Second Amendment pretty clearly.
Okay, because now there have been some court cases, and I apologize, I can't cite them chapter or verse, but there have been recent findings, at least at the appellate level, that say, no, concealed weapons, you can bear your arms, but you've got open carry, you can have them in your home without a permit. If you're going around in public, concealed carry brings up issues of, you know, kind of general safety concerns. And so there's I guess the term is reasonable restriction. You feel that $10 permit in South Dakota?
Correct.
That even that permit violates a constitutional right.
Well, and I think the permit's a good thing. For example, if I want to have reciprocity with another state. Mm-hmm. Although, in my opinion, a law-abiding citizen should not have to buy back their rights.
In any state.
Correct. You shouldn't have to buy your rights to the First Amendment. Why should you have the Second Amendment? And I guess, listening to the debate on the House floor on this bill, you kind of get the sense from some of the opponents that there's, you know, this is this big boogeyman situation. And I forget if it's 10 or 14 states, but somewhere along those lines, though, that many states have this. And what I challenge some of the people on the House floor is just, have you seen an increase in crime, you know, after this was, you know, this law took effect? And, you know, what you really see is, I don't think there's any change. I mean, what the whole intent of this is just let's keep a few innocent people from getting slapped with a class one misdemeanor.
Now, just to check, you said it's around a dozen, maybe a little more than a dozen states have actually adopted this approach. They don't require a permit of their citizens to carry a concealed weapon.
Yeah, that's correct. I know Wyoming does not, Vermont does not, North Dakota actually just signed that law, I believe, last week. There are a number of other states as well.
Now, I know the National Rifle Association, the NRA, is certainly backing this bill, and they sent out some publicity ahead of time. They were certainly lobbying legislators on this, and they had a lobbyist there today in Pierre. Is it the NRA's intent to see permitless concealed carry laws like this passed in all 50 states?
Yeah, they support it. They lobbied it, and that's, you know, one of their priorities, so certainly.
Sure. So, I mean, ultimately, I heard this in the debate, even if a lot of South Dakotans would still get their permits so they can have reciprocity, the ultimate goal of the supporters of this bill is to see all states get rid of the permits so nobody needs to worry about state-to-state reciprocity.
Yeah, I believe so. And I know there's going to be states such as Illinois or California who probably, it's safe to say, will never adopt this. But yeah, absolutely. That would be their goal.
So will we see this bill next year?
You know, I'm probably not going to be the prime sponsor of it, but I would say there's a good chance.
Sure, sure. Okay, let's move to the other gun bill that was discussed today on veto day, and that was House Bill 1156. This was the measure, I shorten it as guns at the Capitol,
sure.
But it's a little more complicated than that. It doesn't say anybody and his ugly sister can walk in with a gun to the Capitol, correct?
Correct.
Explain to me the mechanics of 1156.
So what it says is you have... There's a couple different kinds of gun permits in the state. There's the standard one that costs $10, and then there's the enhanced permit.
The concealed permits, right?
Correct.
Because we still don't need a permit to open carry.
That's correct.
Okay.
So there's the enhanced permit, and I know you have to go through training. I don't know what the fee is right off the top of my head. But if you have the enhanced carry permit, you've went through training, you've passed it, you buy the permit, and you show up to the Capitol... Or you have to call the Highway Patrol at the Capitol. I believe it's 24 hours ahead. So say I want to go to the Capitol in 2 days and carry my concealed weapon. I could call up the Highway Patrol and say, you know what, I'm going to be there on Friday and I'm going to be carrying. Just wanted to let you know. And I have that permit. Then I could legally be in the Capitol with the concealed weapon.
Right. Now, this bill, it passed with decent majorities in both chambers. The governor vetoed it. And it didn't pass today. You still had a majority, but I think you lost a couple of votes from the earlier vote, and it didn't reach the threshold. So this is not law. People still can't carry their guns into the Capitol, really, under any circumstances.
That's correct. The only people that can do it are, I believe, law enforcement.
You and I can't walk in with our guns into the Capitol.
That is certainly correct.
Under any circumstance, as of today, with this veto sustained by the legislature.
That is correct.
Now, Governor Dugard, in his veto message... seem to focus on his faith in the existing security personnel, Capitol Security, the Highway Patrol through the Department of Public Safety. Your first year in the Capitol, I guess as a legislator, you've been there before, was it intern, Paige?
Correct, both actually.
You've been in the Capitol before, but this was your first year as kind of the man, or one of the man. Did you feel unsafe in this very visible public position, in this very visible public building?
Personally, me, I felt safe. And I don't really have a big dog in the fight on this bill. Actually, some of the people who had requested this are the constitutional officers. So, you know, the constitutional officers are in the Capitol, you know, all 12 months of the year.
Secretary of State,
Secretary
Attorney General,
of State,
Public
Utilities
Commission.
Attorney General is actually in a different building.
And the, oh, excuse
and
me.
And the Attorney General actually would be authorized to carry.
Because he's a cop.
Correct.
Ah, okay. So not Marty's problem.
Yeah, so the Secretary of State, the State Treasurer, State Auditor... Some of those people are the people who actually want this. So the other 10 months of the legislature is not there. I believe there's a little bit less security in the Capitol. So they know anyone can come in at any time, and they feel a little bit, would feel safer with that. Because every single constitutional officer in South Dakota endorsed this, actually.
Now, could we do a compromise bill? I know Chantel's a dead shot with those rattlesnakes. Could we just have a bill that authorizes Chantel Krebs to carry a gun in the Capitol? Would we be safe enough then?
Well, I mean, yeah, anyone could bring any bill. So that would certainly be, I think, a little bit of a compromise. I don't know for sure that if it would pass or not, and I'm not sure that the governor would sign it or not. But, I mean, it certainly would probably be a good discussion to have.
There's our rattlesnake criteria. We will allow constitutional officers to carry weapons once they've killed a rattlesnake.
Sure.
Okay, well, there's a thought.
Yeah.
Seriously, on the bill, even for the constitutional officers, which do you think would be a better solution? If you were king for a day, or majority leader for a day, it could happen in a few years, right? Would you rather tell the constitutional officers and their staff they can bring their guns from home to the Capitol? Or would you rather fund the same security outside of session, apparently, that exists now during session?
You know, I have no problem if you know, Chantel Krebs or, you know, one of her staff people want to have that. The comment was made today on the floor that the secretary for the Secretary of State, right at the front office, she has her enhanced permit, but she can't carry. She'd like to carry. If this bill would have passed, I assume she would have, but now she won't be able to. And people like that, you know, I have no problem if you know, the secretary would like to carry a gun in the Capitol, if that makes her feel safer.
But would it be better to offer them the protection of law enforcement personnel in the Capitol?
Well, that's probably a policy decision that you have to make based off of how much that's going to cost and how you feel. I mean, that's a policy discussion you could have.
Sure. Again, this bill didn't pass, so again, listeners, you cannot bring your guns to the Capitol. The governor says so for now.
Don't do it.
And although now bills like this have come in past years, it seems reasonable to think we might see similar bills in the future. Would you ever support any looser bill? Because like you pointed out, this bill was limited to people who have the enhanced concealed permit. What if someone brought forward a bill saying, well, wait a minute, Second Amendment, right to bear arms, let people open carry in the Capitol. It's not our business to stop them. Would you find a proposal like that acceptable?
I'm not going to say yes or no right now. I'm going to give every bill its fair, you know, fair hearing and look at it and read it and see what it does. If I feel like it makes the Capitol a safer place, then I'll consider it. If I feel like it makes the Capitol more unsafe, then I'll oppose it. And also, maybe take some input from constituents on a bill like that.
Well, safety first.
Yeah.
Representative Dennert, thanks for taking time to talk with us on a very busy veto day. What comes next for you after veto day?
Well, I'll be getting back to work, and I've been at work for the last couple of weeks out on the farm, but it's the busy time of the year. We're out calving. We're going to be getting into the thick of it. The next 2 weeks are probably our busiest 2 weeks of the year.
So from the bull in pier to the calves on the farm.
Exactly.
Heck of a deal. Thank you, Representative Dennert.
Absolutely.